Now, there are some themes in John chapter number 11 that stick out. One of the themes, whether we want to talk about John chapter 11 as a whole, or perhaps maybe we want to just narrow it down to the story of the resurrection or the raising of Lazarus, but there are some themes in this chapter that stick out, and one of them is faith. Faith in God. And the word believe in some way, some form, is found 8 times in this chapter, in John chapter number 11. And so one of the themes of John chapter 11 is faith, but another theme that we see in John chapter number 11 is the glory of God. The death of Lazarus and how his death was for the purpose of bringing glory to God. We had been teaching on Sunday morning in Sunday school about the high priestly intercessory prayer of Jesus. We've been in Sunday school going through some great prayers of the Bible. And one of the things that we mentioned, that Jesus mentions to his heavenly Father in that prayer in John chapter 17, is that his purpose while he was on earth was to bring glory to God. And in this passage, that is mentioned several times, the purpose of this great miracle that takes place with Lazarus. It's for the purpose of the glory of God, to bring glory to God. And so we're going to see those two themes throughout this. We'll see the theme of faith or belief and the theme of the glory of God. And so let's begin in verse number 1 of John chapter number 11. And let's notice some details here about the miracle that takes place with Lazarus and Jesus. Look at what it says in verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. So Lazarus living in Bethany, and he lived with his sisters. It says the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now Jesus, at the time when this miracle is going to take place, if you would go back up, and we won't read any particular scripture passage, but if you would go back up to John chapter number 10, you would know that Jesus is in a city about 20 miles away from Bethany. Now, one thing that would be significant about the fact that Jesus is 20 miles away from this city of Bethany is that 20 miles would have been around a day's journey. And so to get 20 miles would take somebody a good lengthy part of the day. And so he's about a day's journey away from where Lazarus is in the city of Bethany. Well, the Bible says this in verse number 2. It begins to talk to us about the two sisters, Mary and Martha. It lets us know who they are, tries to make purpose of identifying them. And it says in verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now we know that Mary and Martha are mentioned here, and Mary and Martha were the ones who we came to know in the story that's found in Luke chapter number 10. You remember from verse 38 through verse number 42 in Luke chapter number 10, there's the story of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha is cumbered about. She's very busy. She's serving and working. And then remember, Jesus had delivered that message to Mary, to Martha, that Mary hath chosen the needful thing and she's sitting at my feet. And so we're introduced to them. We know that story that's mentioned in Luke chapter number 10 about their lives. And then also, we're not going to take the time to look there, but if you would go over to John chapter number 12, we're in John 11 right now, but if you would go in John chapter number 12, you would notice that the book of John gives the account of Mary when she anoints the feet of Jesus with her hair. And there was a purpose behind why she did that. It was to prepare him for his death and his burial. And so Mary anoints Jesus with his feet, with her hair. And so it's identified these two ladies. Now, one thing we want to understand about Mary and Martha is that they had a confidence in Jesus. They didn't just have a confidence in Jesus because he was their Savior, but you'll notice it's reiterated several times that Jesus loves these three. He has a love for Mary, and he has a love for Martha, and he has a love for Lazarus. So I do not believe that it's just a confidence they have in Jesus because he's their Savior, but also they're looking at him as a friend, Somebody who's going to come along beside them and help them in their time of need. And so they're looking at him as the Savior, but they're putting their confidence in him as a friend as well. Well, an urgent message is delivered to Jesus. Look at verse number 3, if you would. It says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So this urgent message comes, and it's delivered, it's sent to the Master. Now, you'll notice something very specific about verse number 3 that I want you to see. I want you to notice that when this message is delivered, notice, we'll read it one more time because I want you to notice this, verse 3. It says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Did you notice that when this message is sent, that Mary and Martha are simply informing Jesus of the situation? We do not see any type of demand. We don't see any type of even suggestion that they give. But they're just informing Jesus that Lazarus, this one whom you love, it even says there at the end of that verse, "Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They're just informing him that Jesus is sick. That's something I think unique that we really have to notice in verse 3. There's no demands given. There's not even suggestions given. They're letting him have control, aren't they? They're putting their confidence and their faith in him, knowing that he is going to do the right thing. Now remember, at the time this passage is written, Jesus would have been in danger to even return to Judea. Because if you'll read a little bit further down in the passage, the disciples even warn him of that. Jesus had passed through Judea at a previous time, and the Jewish leaders were at a point in which they were desiring to destroy him. And so Mary and Martha, I think they kind of understand that. If he were to come towards this area, he would put himself in danger. So we're just going to inform him of the situation. No demands, no requests, no suggestions. We're just letting you know that the one who you love is sick. And so Jesus returns a message, doesn't he? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4 as he returns this message to them. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man, or excuse me, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, as we read what Jesus says here in verse number 4, he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." We might look at verse number 4 and we might look at it with complete surprise. We might look at it in such a way where we'd say, well, we would expect perhaps Jesus to do something different than just to make the statement that this sickness is for the purpose of the glory of God. Maybe perhaps to raise Lazarus from a distance. He had done that to other individuals, hadn't he? He had healed individuals from a distance. Certainly Jesus could do that, couldn't he? And so we might look at the passage and we might say we would have expected Jesus to do something different with all the power that he has, the miracle working ability that he has. Why would he just say that it's for his glory and not do something about it? Perhaps maybe to heal him from a distance, or at minimum to at least start heading towards Bethany, right? To check things out and to find out how things are going. But what we have to understand is God has a reason in everything, doesn't he? And the way we might see things worked out, or the plan that we might not be the exact plan that God has. So God has a reason in all of this, doesn't he? And the reason for his delay is not because he's scared to go towards Judea again. Again, remember, there is a fear of harm or hurt if he would go back to that area. So that's not the reason for his delay. But instead, he mentions in verse number 4, there's a divine purpose in all of this. There's a divine purpose even in the death of Lazarus. It's all for the glory of God. So what was Jesus really encouraging and urging Mary and Martha to do? He's encouraging them, he's urging them just to believe my word. No matter how discouraging the circumstances and the situation may get around you, I'm just asking you to trust my word. I'm asking you to trust me that it's for the glory of God that this is happening. Look back at verse number 4 again. I want us to notice something. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. But wait a minute. When we see Jesus say that sickness is not unto death, we do know that a little later down in the passage, he did die though, didn't he? So what is Jesus saying there? He's saying, well, it's not for a permanent or a long-term, a death for eternity, but instead this is a temporary death, a momentary death that was going to be used for the purpose of bringing glory to God and ultimately exalting his Son. Isn't that the purpose in all of this? Notice at the end of the verse, he says that the Son of Man, or excuse me, I keep saying the Son of Man, the Son of God might be glorified. So God's going to get the glory, and ultimately the Son of God, or Jesus, is going to be exalted. Now, why is it that any death would bring glory to God? Why would any situation that involved death bring glory to God? Well, I want to present to you tonight a couple reasons, even in death today, how death can bring glory to God. First of all, here's what we have to understand about death. Death reveals that God is a holy and a just God, doesn't it? Because remember what he said, there was going to be punishment as a result of sin, didn't he? You know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So what does death really reveal to us today? It reveals to us that God is consistent when it comes to his judgment and it comes to his punishment. We're all going to face physical death. Why? As a result of sin. Some individuals are going to face spiritual death as a result of sin. So how is it that death can bring glory to God? Because it helps us to understand that he is just and that he is holy. But also another great reason why death can bring glory to God is because that death is the enemy over which Jesus prevailed. That's what we're celebrating today, isn't it? Death is the enemy over which Jesus prevailed. So how is God able to get glory in death? Because when Jesus died, he was able to have victory over death. He defeated the enemy of death. But then I believe there's one more reason why we could say that death would bring glory to God, because the testimony of saints as they face death. Think about the testimony of an individual who's saved, that have trusted Jesus Christ as they face death. An individual that's saved, we realize that death is just a necessary step into entering into the presence of the Lord. You've probably heard perhaps testimony before of individuals that have laid on a deathbed and responded in such a joyful way as God was giving them dying grace to pass in from this life into the presence of the Lord. So is it possible that death can bring glory to God? Sure, but we know that this was not a permanent death, but instead this was just a temporary death, but all for the purpose, though, of bringing honor and glory to the Lord. So let's notice verse number 5 now. Verse number 5 says this, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now it has already told us that Jesus loved Lazarus back up in verse number 2. Because, verse number 3. The message was sent to Jesus that the one who you love is sick. And then it's reiterated for us again in verse number 5 where it says that Jesus loved Martha and he loved her sister Mary and he also loved Lazarus. Now, sometimes individuals can confuse God's love when you go through a difficult time. Well, how could a loving God put somebody through that? So we don't look at the story of Lazarus and say, well, God claims that he loves him, but yet he didn't heal him, yet he didn't come right away. There's something we have to remember about the love that Jesus has for us. His love doesn't mean that we're always free from problems, does it? And his love doesn't always mean that we're free from pains that we face in life. We'll still go through the pains and the problems of life, but we can still always have an assurance that Jesus still loves us, doesn't he? And so remember that as you see the love that Jesus had for Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But then look at verse number 6. It says this, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now remember, Jesus was in a city that was 20 miles away from Bethany. The Bible says the message has already been delivered. This death that Lazarus is going to go through is for the purpose of bringing glory to God so that the Son of God might ultimately be glorified thereby. And then Jesus delays. He tarries in this city 20 miles outside of Bethany for 2 more days. Was he waiting for Lazarus to die so that God may get the glory? No, because Lazarus had already died. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 17, if you look down at verse number 17 in the same passage of Scripture, it says, then when Jesus came. So Jesus does indeed leave the city he's in. He starts heading to Judea again. Even after the disciples had said to him, well, the last time we were there, our lives were in danger. Do you really think we should return back there? Because Bethany was a city that was just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So the danger that Jesus and the disciples were entering when they came back to Judea again, but Jesus did return, didn't he? And notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 17. He found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So he had already laid there for 4 days. Now, so let's think about the timeline. Day number 1, the messenger brings and delivers the message to Jesus. This is the message that I'm sent to deliver. Remember, we told you a 20-mile journey would have been a day's journey. So the messenger with that urgent message comes to where Jesus is. He delivers that message, and that's day number 1. But Jesus delivers a message back, doesn't he? He tells Martha and Mary that this is all for the purpose of bringing glory to God. And so that would have taken another day's journey to deliver that message back. And that would have been also day number 1 that Jesus was remaining in that city. And then another day passes where Jesus remains in that city, because you remember he stayed there for 2 days. And then Jesus has a day journey to get to Bethany as well, doesn't he? So Jesus travels for a day. So that brings us to day number 4. That means that when the messenger was delivering the message, the urgent message that was to be delivered, that Lazarus was sick, we would go back in that timetable to say that was the very day that Lazarus ends up dying. His life is now gone. And so Jesus wasn't waiting for him to die. He had already died. And Jesus comes to Bethany after he had been dead for 4 days. The fact that he would be dead for 4 days, though, was going to give greater authenticity to this miracle, wasn't it? You think about the faith that Jesus was trying to further and increase in the hearts of the people that were going to witness this. By the way, it wasn't just Jesus' desire to increase Mary and Martha's faith, but he was endeavoring to increase his disciples' faith as well. And then the multitudes that would be around, or the crowd that would gather nearby to watch this miracle take place. Now, Jesus had already raised other individuals from death. But this was a circumstance where a man now had been dead for 4 days. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 11. We want you to notice why Jesus had waited these 4 days for the purpose of increasing the faith in those that would see this miracle. Look at verse number 11, if you would. It says, these things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus, sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Well, the disciples didn't understand that. A lot of times in Scripture now, we understand that Jesus is referring to sleep with death, isn't he? And so the disciples at first didn't understand it. And so they say in verse number 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Then notice verse number 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. All right, so you don't understand what I'm trying to get at. So he's going to just say it plainly to them. 3 words, Lazarus is dead. Now notice verse number 15, he says this, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. It has nothing to do with me. It's your sakes. You're going to have the opportunity to be able to see this miracle take place and a further opportunity to be able to believe and put your faith in me. And so he said, I was glad that I wasn't there. So that, notice what it says at the end of verse number 15, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So now we're going to notice, as we move into the second part of this story, this is the part that I really want to get to tonight, because this is the passage of Scripture that the Lord just continued to lay on my heart when I was thinking about Easter. I want you to notice some comfort that Jesus gives when he arrives in the city of Bethany. And I want you to notice that comfort being fourfold tonight. I want you to notice the fourfold comfort of Jesus in the latter half of this chapter here as he brings Lazarus back to life. The first way in which I want you to see that Jesus offers comfort, number one, is the comfort of his presence. The comfort of his presence. Now, would we not say as Christians tonight that his presence is comforting? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, he says. His presence is comforting. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. We're going to notice the comfort of his presence. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Martha is letting Jesus know just the comfort of your presence is able to calm the heart. Had you been here, had your presence been here, it would be able to calm the heart. Now we understand that Jesus has a purpose in all of this. But Martha said, if you'd have been here, just your presence would have calmed the heart. And isn't that true of us as Christians as we go through the many pains and the problems of life? Just his presence brings us comfort. Just the fact of knowing that he is there with us. And so the comfort of his presence. But then notice number two, the comfort of his promise. Now this is what I really wanted to get to tonight, because this is the reason why God continued to lay this passage on my heart, because this is Easter Sunday now. We're thinking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice a wonderful promise that he gives to Martha. Notice the wonderful comforting promise that he gives to Mary. Look at what it says in verse number 22. It says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee, Martha says. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now at first Martha was confused at that, wasn't she? She thought Jesus was referring to the resurrection of the dead, which we obviously would all believe is going to take place someday, isn't it? Bodies are in the grave right now, bodies are in the ground, but one day those bodies are going to rise up out of that grave. We would call that, we would refer to that as the resurrection of the dead. And that's exactly what Martha is assuming Jesus is talking about. He will rise from the dead. And Martha says to Jesus in verse 24, and Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then here's the promise from Jesus. What comfort for us on Easter Sunday right here. We could narrow the comfort that God gives us in this promise right down to these two verses. Notice what it says in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now there is comfort in that, isn't there? He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, if you put your faith in me, though you were dead, yet shall ye live. What a promise Jesus gives, and what comfort in that promise. And then he says to Martha in verse 26, notice this, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, notice the next three words, shall never die. What a comfort in the promise that Jesus gives to Martha. If you believe in me, though you were dead, yet shall you live. If you believe in me, you'll never die. Eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise and the hope of heaven. And so the promise of verse number 25 and verse number 26 was forever guaranteed when Jesus did something for us. When was this promise guaranteed? This promise was guaranteed for us as Christians when Jesus rose triumphantly from the grave. This promise was guaranteed on the day that we celebrate today. We celebrate His resurrection. And He's letting us know, I'm the resurrection and the life. There's going to come a time when they're going to put me to death. There's going to come a time when they're going to bury me in a tomb. My hour is going to come. But there's going to come a day, 3 days later, early on Sunday morning, when the tomb is going to be empty. And I am going to rise from the grave. And the promise that we see in verse 25 and verse number 26 was guaranteed forever the very moment that Jesus rose triumphantly over death. Now listen, if death could not hold Him, then it also cannot stand between Him and us. Death cannot stand between Christ and us. The grave was not able to hold Him. Death was not able to hold Him. He was victorious over death. And our hope of life beyond the grave is grounded forever on this promise right here. Our hope of living forever. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a comfort of a guaranteed promise. What hope that we have that we're going to live forever based upon the promise that's given here in John chapter number 11, which is in the very day that we celebrate today. So we see the comfort of His presence. We see the comfort of this promise. But can you notice the comfort of His person as well? He asked Martha a question, doesn't he? What is the question that He asked Martha? Remember, it's just a few words here at the end of verse number 26. Do you see the question that He asked her at the end of verse number 26? Believest thou this? Do you believe this, Martha? Now, I understand, Martha, you're referring to the resurrection of the dead. Yes, dead bodies are going to rise up. But I'm letting you know I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he's going to get to live forever. He'll never die. And He asked Martha, do you believe this? Believest thou this? And then Martha gives an answer, doesn't she? We've seen the comfort of His presence. If you would have been here, just the comfort of your presence calms the difficulties of life. And then we see the comfort of the promise. But then we see the comfort of His person. Notice the answer that Martha gives. Verse 27, she saith unto Him, yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Notice she refers to Jesus in three different ways, doesn't she? She calls Him in verse number 27, Lord. She refers to Him as Christ. And she says that you are the Son of God. Those who put their trust in His person, which is the fact that He is the Son of God, are assured of His presence. And they also can rest upon His promises. What a great truth that we see in the answer that Martha gives. Because I've trusted in your person, I can find assurance and rest assured in your presence, and I can know that you will always keep your promises. But can we finish this passage of Scripture here in John chapter number 11 by giving you the last comfort? Number one, the comfort of His presence. Number two, the comfort of the promise that He gives, the comfort of His person. But then would you notice the comfort of His power? We can have comfort in knowing that we serve a powerful God. Notice His power on display. Look at verse number 39, if you would. It says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Remember, we told you one of the themes was faith. What did Jesus say to Martha in verse number 40? You've got to believe. And then what was the other theme we said? The glory of God. What did he say? If you believe, then you'll get to see the glory of God. You believe, and then you'll get to see. Remember, we live in a world that says, show me first, and then I'll believe. But God says it the opposite way, doesn't he? He says, you believe, and then I'll let you see. So you put your belief in me, and then you're going to get to see. And what is it that you're going to get to see? You're going to get to see the glory of God. God's going to be glorified, and ultimately, the Son of God is going to be exalted as well. He's going to be brought, glory is going to be brought to him as well. So notice what the Bible says in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Remember one of the themes, believe. I want to see them believe. I want them to put their faith in me. And so they're going to get to have the opportunity to experience this miracle so that they can believe. Notice verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. You think about 4 days now. 4 days have passed and all hope is gone. That Lazarus would ever be able to come back to life. Sure, at the resurrection of the dead, that's going to happen, but there's no way that he's going to come back to life now. 4 days, all hope was gone, but all it took was Jesus to say 3 words, didn't he? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that grave, and Jesus able to show this miracle to those that were gathered there so that they may believe and so that God may get the glory. So, what is the illustration for us tonight? Now, we've seen the comfort of God. We've seen the comfort of his presence and the comfort of his promise that he gives and his person. And then we've seen the comfort of his power. Well, what's the illustration for us? Well, we're like Lazarus, aren't we? Now, listen, we're celebrating Easter today. This is the day in which we understand that because he has victory over death, we now have victory over death. We're now able to have eternal life. Lazarus was dead. Sinners are dead, aren't they? Sinners are spiritually dead. But the good news is, Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So Lazarus was dead and sinners are dead, but Lazarus was raised by the power of God. The illustration for you and I as Christians is simply this. All those who put their trust in Christ have been given a new life. They've been lifted out of the graveyard of their sin. And they have power over death as well because of the one who's able to give them life. John chapter 5 and verse number 24, listen to the words of that verse. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Lazarus was given life. How? Through the power of the Lord. We're given life through the power of the resurrected Savior. Lazarus was freed from his grave clothes. Remember, he said to him, loose him and let him go. He was given great liberty. Matter of fact, he had so much liberty that if you're still there in John chapter 11 and you look over to John chapter 12 and you look down at verse number 2, it says, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Who is him? That's Jesus. Lazarus had come forth out of the grave. The grave clothes came off, and here he had so much liberty that he's sitting down eating with Jesus. Isn't that true of Christians as well? The Bible says that believers are at a place where we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We have an opportunity to enjoy spiritual food, and we have an opportunity to enjoy spiritual fellowship. Why? Because we've been freed. We've been given liberty through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then can I have you look at one last little series of verses and we'll be done. If you're still there in John, I want you to look down at John chapter number 12. And this is maybe perhaps one of the most significant illustrations or applications we could give about the life of Lazarus here. Because of the great change that happened in the life of Lazarus and others that watched, others that believed in what had taken place, the change that had happened in the life of Lazarus, he was used by God to bring people to Christ. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 12 down at verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Hey, we want to see Lazarus, but man, there's something about this miracle. There's something about what has happened in the life of this man named Lazarus. We want to lay our eyes on him as well. We want to be an eyewitness to the man that rose from the dead. And notice what the Bible says in verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now, why would they want to put him to death? Look at verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Man, the power and the testimony of a changed life. The fact that this man was once dead and now he's alive again. Hey, we were spiritually dead and there's a change in our life, isn't there? We're now spiritually made alive. What a testimony we have. What an opportunity we have to bring others to Jesus, to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus because of what he has done in our life. Hey, let's be a Lazarus. Let's be a Lazarus. Let's bring others to Christ because of the testimony of a changed life, that we once were dead, but now he's given us life. Let's take comfort in John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a comfort in that promise. A forever guarantee that Jesus gives us because of the day we celebrate today. He's risen from the grave. He had victory over death so that we can have victory over death as well and eternal life if we've come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Hey, let's take comfort in John chapter number 11 tonight that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes here tonight? And just for a moment, I'm going to have Miss Dahman ask.